This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Thursday, November 19th, 2020. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for about an hour of observation, insight, and absurdity into the world around us. Hopefully you've had a great day. The last 24 hours has been good to you. The last 24 hours around my place has been kind of weird, but hey, we'll see if we have time to touch on that. A lot of stuff in the stack today. A lot of stuff in the stack, state by state. And hopefully we can get to all of it. If not, be sure to get the show notes because everything will be in show notes today. And I will try to get that show notes link posted to social media today. Something that I don't always remember to do, but hey, it's a one guy. It's a one man show. It's just me. The dog is useless. Hello, pup. She just lays there and waits for me to pet her. Otherwise, it's just me. I'm running everything. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Yesterday was another beautiful day in the neighborhood. I spent some time working on lawn equipment yesterday, and I got to tell you, it's time to retire the mower. That's just all there is. One of these days, I'll tell you the story, but suffice it to say, I spent a couple of hours repairing something. Got it all started. Everything worked exactly like it was supposed to. I'm doing one of those fist bump. Yes. If I could have, I would have high-fived myself. I got it working. I followed the directions I found online. Everything was perfect. And then it broke again. So it's been when something that you own, like a riding lawnmower, gets to the point where you have to repair it every time you want to mow the grass, it's probably time you should retire it and find another one. Which is what I think I'm going to do. I think I'll be chatting with my buddy Mike, who does lawnmower repair and occasionally has one that he's willing to part with and see if he would be interested in a trade. We'll see. But much to talk about today. There is so much happening, and we'll kick off with this. And the reason I wanted to kick off with this story about something said by Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama is that it has everything to do with the path that we are on right now. This is coming from EpochTimes.com or TheEpochTimes.com. Representative Mo Brooks, the Republican of Alabama, said the final outcome of the presidential election may be decided according to the 12th Amendment in Article 1 and Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution when Congress convenes in early January. He says the ultimate say over whether to accept or reject electoral college votes for any state is not a court's job. It is Congress's job under the Constitution, coupled with the federal statutes that govern this issue. Congress has the absolute right to reject the submitted electoral college votes of any state, which we believe has such a shoddy election system that you can't trust the election results that those states are submitting to us, that they're suspect. This is what he told the Epoch Times earlier this week. He goes on to say, "And I'm not going to put my name in support of any state that employs an election system that I don't have confidence in." He notes that he doesn't have confidence in the election results in several states, including Georgia and Pennsylvania, where Democrat Joe Biden is the projected winner by razor-thin margins. President Donald Trump's campaign has filed lawsuits in several states, alleging irregularities, voter fraud, and violations of state election laws. The Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, their cybersecurity division said this week that the November 3rd election was the most secure in history, while several state secretaries of state have said there isn't enough evidence of voter fraud that would result in overturning the election. However, Federal Elections Commission Chairman Trey Traynor has said otherwise, claiming he believes there is voter fraud in several key states that went for Biden. Mo Brooks, perhaps in laying out a potential GOP strategy, said that on January 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, the 50 states will report to Congress. The president of the Senate will preside over this meeting and will report to Congress what they contend are their electoral college results in their state. If a House member and a senator object to the submission of electoral college votes by any state, that immediately triggers a House floor vote and a Senate floor vote on whether to accept or reject those electoral college votes submitted by that particular state. The amount of debate on the House and Senate floor is limited to 2 hours under federal law. Brooks says Congress will then determine whether to reject or to reject certain electoral votes, thereby taking them out of the mix. His reasoning for removing votes from certain states is because they're running a poor election system, and a system so suspect that you can't give credibility to the results that are being reported. He says under the 12th Amendment, the House would then determine who the president will be, and the Senate will determine the vice president. In the House, he noted, it's not a simple majority vote, but it is a majority of the states who determine who the president will be. Based on the election results we just had, the GOP will control 26 states out of 50. That's a majority, with a possible 27th. One election hasn't been called. Presumably, the Republican nominee would be favored because the GOP controls a majority of the state delegations in the House of Representatives. He noted that a similar situation unfolded nearly 200 years ago during the contingent election of 1824, which saw John Quincy Adams, who was the second-place finisher, elected president, since no candidate won a majority of the electoral vote. Earlier this week, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz predicted that Trump might attempt to settle the election in Congress. He said, "Let's look at the big picture. The big picture now has shifted. I do not believe that President Trump is now trying to get to 270 electoral votes. I think he thinks that's out of the question. What he's trying to do is to deny Joe Biden 270 votes by challenging in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan, and Arizona." He added that not allowing Biden to reach 270 out of 538 votes would eventually force a House by House state delegations where Republicans have an advantage over Democrats. Currently, the GOP has a 26-23, 1-1 state delegation majority in the House. He goes on to say if he can keep the Biden count below 270, then the matter goes to the House of Representatives, where, of course, there is a Republican majority among delegations of states, and you vote by state if it goes to the House. He's trying to follow the playbook of three elections of the 19th century. And this, I believe, is what the Trump team is doing. I think they are challenging votes. They are making it publicly clear that these votes are very suspicious. This is the reason for filing the lawsuits. This is the reason. Even if lawsuits are thrown out, okay? Even if lawsuits don't go their way, this is the reason for filing the lawsuits. It's to call into question what's going on in these states. It's to highlight the fact that there is suspicion about what's going on in these states. It is so that there will be a legal record and a foundation for making the big move. And they're doing everything exactly as it should be done. Now, the Democrats and their cohorts, their comrades in the leftist press, are already calling the election for Joe Biden. They're painting the picture that he is the president-elect, and he is not. And no one, it doesn't matter if it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump or anyone, it doesn't matter in any election until that election is certified, until the votes are counted, the electoral votes are counted, and we know exactly what's going on in the final tally of the electoral vote. It doesn't matter. You can't be president-elect until that's done. And even then, if you are president-elect and the vote is tainted, then there has to be further action. And that's what's happening right now. And Mo Brooks spells it out nicely. He spells it out very nicely. There is so much suspicious information coming out right now. So many things. That we have to take notice. Now, let's see. Yesterday, we talked about in Wayne County, the Republicans who decided to go ahead and bow down to the pressure and vote to accept the results that had been projected, and they did so because they were browbeaten in a Zoom call. And in a couple of the people in the Zoom call who were browbeating them actually exposed where their children went to school and made certain statements about grandchildren. They were essentially doxing these people, exposing them for exposing their families to potential violence. Because as we have seen on the left, when they don't get what they want, they get nasty. Well, in the second reversal in as many days, two Republicans on a county elections board in Michigan rescinded their votes that had certified their county's results in the 2020 election. Wayne County Board of Canvassers Chairperson Monica Palmer and Board Member William Hartman signed sworn affidavits yesterday testifying that they voted to certify the election results the day before, only because they were promised that a full audit of the election would take place to address their concerns. After learning that no audit would occur, they rescinded their votes. Quote, Vice Chairman Jonathan Kinlock gave me assurance that voting for the certification of the November election would result in a full, independent audit of Detroit's unbalanced precincts, Palmer wrote. This is according to an affidavit obtained by Just the News. Quote, I relied on that assurance and voted to certify the election based on that assurance. Later that evening, I was sent statements that Secretary Jocelyn Benson made saying that she did not view our audit resolution to be binding. Palmer continues. As a result of these facts, I rescind my prior vote to certify Wayne County elections. Now, there's more to this, and I encourage you to get the show notes and read the rest of the story. These two people, were promised something. And promises by progressives hold no water. They were promised that things would be handled in a certain way, and then later they found out, that's not a binding promise. So, it was not a promise. It was a lie. And so they changed their votes back. Also in play was this doxing situation and these rather veiled threats of violence and and bad things to come. When you're already out there, when people know how you feel, the left, they don't care. You can change your vote. You can rescind whatever you've said. You can make changes. The left doesn't care. They're going to keep coming after you. So they're already targets. They're wearing the big bullseyes. It doesn't matter. They may as well just go ahead and stand by what they originally said. Because once they've said it, they're in the crosshairs. And they're going to be the victims of something done by the left. So what they should do is do everything they can to protect their loved ones and stand by their decisions. Because when you're dealing with progressives / communists, they will resort to anything to get their way. These Republicans on the Wayne County Board of Canvassers were berated, smeared as racists, even had their children doxed before they reversed course the other night to certify the vote in Michigan's populated county. I told you all about this yesterday. They were threatened. They were called nasty things. And then they found out the promise that they were made was not a promise. It was a lie. And that changed everything. And this is the kind of mentality the people we're dealing with. For example, pardon me, Abraham Ayash, a Democrat Michigan state representative-elect, spoke of Republican Monica Palmer's children and named their school as he berated her for being a racist. Now, remember, if you're not getting your way and you're a Democrat in a predominantly black area and you're not getting your way, guess what?
Everything is racist!
Yep, everything is racist. They accused them of being racists. They exposed where their children went to school. They did things which they should be dragged into court for doing. They should be legally punished for doing these things. Will they be? I seriously doubt it. Because everything is controlled by progressives where they are. God love them. It's going to be a rough few days for them coming up. But you know what? You and I know the truth. We have to stand by that truth. It's the Daily Perspective. We're one day away from the weekend. Thursday. This is the 19th of November, 2020. Looking things over, we're going to be looking at as much as we can today. I have, let's see, we just talked about Michigan. Coming up is Nevada, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. A lot of stuff to cover. I'm going to do my best to get there, if at all possible. Just a quick side note, back to Michigan. Donald Trump, President Trump, posted on Twitter, in Detroit, there are far more votes than people. Nothing can be done to cure that giant scam. I win Michigan. There are things that we don't know that the legal team knows that I have a feeling are going to blow your socks off. Now let's turn to Nevada. The Republican Party in Nevada has announced a new election contest to throw out fraud and ensure election integrity, citing a slew of alleged voting irregularities that include claims of evidence that 15,000 people who voted in Nevada also voted in another state. By the way, in case you missed it, that's illegal! The election contest, filed in Carson City District Court by Nevada Electoral College candidates who pledged to President Donald Trump, is contesting the results of the presidential election in Nevada. It alleges substantial irregularities, improprieties, and fraud that occurred in the election, and that Nevada election officials put in effect an election system that was highly susceptible to fraud and abuse. The contest reads, evidence will show that the nature and scale of that fraud and abuse renders the purported results of the Nevada election illegitimate. Former Nevada Attorney General and Trump campaign Nevada co-chair Adam Laxalt said the contest alleges many mail-in votes were improperly cast. Quote, we are presenting today in our formal contest that there are north of 15,000 people who voted in Nevada and another state. We're presenting that people that had already done a change of address and left the state outside of the 30-day requirement, their ballots were still cast. We're also presenting dead voters. He told that to a news conference just a couple of days ago. He took issue with Clark County's system whereby a complaint has to be lodged in order for an issue to be investigated regarding a contested vote. He said, I'll only leave one example. If a person's died and that ballot was mailed to someone's home and someone voted that ballot, who's going to complain about that vote cast? No one, quite clearly. So the system isn't investigating these things. Among other alleged voting irregularities raised, the contest took issue with the reliability of the signature scanning machine used in Clark County. Laxalt pointed to how no professional election integrity body has certified the machine. It's an Agilis machine. And how election personnel manually adjusted the factory settings of the machines to 40% of a signature match. The chair of the American Conservative Union and Trump campaign representative Matt Schlapp denounced the widespread unsolicited mail-in ballots across the state on November 17th. This, coupled with various changes in Nevada election rules just before Election Day that allegedly decreased ballot security and almost eliminated signature verification, have resulted in unprecedented voting irregularities in Clark County, he says. The county's seen multiple complaints over voting irregularities. On the 16th, the county tossed results of a local election after a canvass showed 139 discrepancies in a battleground district. Matt Schlapp said, in all my years in politics, I have never seen the types of voter irregularity we have seen in Clark County. The zeal to push reckless, unsolicited mail-in voting resulted in 50% of ballots coming through the mail and a tenfold increase in mail ballots in Clark County. Nevada and Clark County have created this crisis. Reckless, unsolicited mail-in voting has created this crisis. Dan Coolen, the Clark County Election Department's public information officer, said in an emailed statement that the allegations in the latest election contest appear to be repeated allegations that are misstating and misrepresenting evidence provided in prior proceedings that courts have already rejected and parroting erroneous allegations made by partisans without firsthand knowledge of the facts. Of course, he is going to say this. He's part of the coup. He is part of the coup. A journalist in Nevada has tested their signature verification process for mail-in ballots, and he's found that the state is wide open for fraud. Victor Jakes. He's a columnist of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. His last name is spelled J-O-E-C-K-S. Could be Jakes, could be Jokes, could be Jocks, I don't know. He conducted his experiment noting that the issue is deeper than any single contest. He says, leave aside the presidential race, even small amounts of fraud can swing results. He says, pointing to a race where a state senator won an election by 24 votes. He says in his piece from that he proved a voter could vote many times. Quote, Clark County election officials accepted my signature on 8 ballot return envelopes during the general election. It's more evidence that signature verification is a flawed security measure. He says the assurances from elections officials that the process was secure were just so much puffery. He notes that among the facts assembled on a state website was this gem. Quote, all mail ballots must be signed on the ballot return envelope. This signature is used to authenticate the voter and confirm that it was actually the voter and not another person who returned the mail ballot. Given the vast amount of reporting that's shown images of ballots dumped here, there, and everywhere, this assertion intrigued him. He says, I wanted to test that claim by simulating what might happen if someone returned ballots that didn't belong to him or her. So, he had 9 co-conspirators. He wrote their names for them to copy, trying to imitate his handwriting. The citizens had to sign the ballots and ensure there was no fraud perpetrated while conducting the test. So you see what he did. He wrote their names in his handwriting, and then they themselves wrote their names imitating his handwriting instead of their handwriting. So the signatures would not match what was on voter records. You see what he did? Well, Clark County Registrar Joe Gloria told him that if ballots signed by someone else came through, well, we'd still have the signature match to rely on for identity. Asked about his confidence in his office's ability to pluck a fake ballot out of a sea of documents, he said, I'm confident that the process has been working throughout this process. He was wrong. 8 of the 9 ballots went through. In other words, signature verification had an 89% failure rate in catching mismatched signatures. He went on to say that the result was not surprising given the stories that have emerged of a woman voting this year 3 years after she died, and another being told her signature was valid on a ballot she'd never received. One whistleblower, in fact, has come forward to say he was ordered by elections officials to process ballots without checking the signatures. Jakes then focused on the real problem. No one really makes finding fraud a full-bore effort. He said, county officials aren't working proactively to determine whether unscrupulous actors abused this vulnerability in a widespread fashion. He says, so if a criminal doesn't admit he committed voter fraud, Clark County is unlikely to find out about it. Willful ignorance isn't an election security strategy. He says the issue was not really whether President Donald Trump was the victim of fraud in the November 3rd election, but whether Nevada's elections are as secure as officials claim. It's unclear how much voter fraud took place in Nevada, but it's clear signature verification isn't the fail-safe security check elections officials made it out to be. So in Nevada, security of the signature isn't being checked as it should be. They've dialed things down. The machines have been dialed down to a 40% recognition rate, and they aren't challenging things like they should. It's a ridiculous situation, and it's a situation you must be aware of. This is why there are objections in Nevada. And remember that when the Board of Elections, when representatives from the state say, there's nothing to see here, oh, this is just crap, it's all been through the courts before, they're just regurgitating stuff that's already been disproven, those people are lying. Those representatives are lying to you because they are part of the problem. And that problem spreads from state to state to state. We've looked at Illinois. We've looked at Michigan, I should say. We've looked at Nevada. Up next, let's take a look at Georgia, shall we? I think we shall. Coming up after the break, as the Daily Perspective continues. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Diving into the second half of this day's show. Good to have you along. Thank you so much for being there. I appreciate the fact that you are. Glad to have you along. Whether it be on YouTube this morning, we are on YouTube live again today. Or not, you may be subscribing to the podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please allow me to suggest that you do so. It comes direct to your listening device of choice each day, and there are a bunch of ways to do it. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, it's on Amazon Podcasts, it's on Spotify, it's on both the iTunes and iHeartRadio apps. It's everywhere. You can find it wherever fine podcasts can be found, just so you know. Now, moving to Georgia, Georgia's Secretary of State said the other day that an audit of voting machines was completed with no signs of foul play, because of course he did. Brad Raffensperger said voting systems testing company Pro-V&V conducted the audit and found no evidence of the machines being tampered. Now, I want you to think about the wording here, okay? They have found no evidence of the machines being tampered. When the machines can be reprogrammed by inserting a thumb drive and then reprogrammed again after an election by inserting a thumb drive and updating the software, then how can a testing of those machines after the fact show anything went wrong? These are machines from Dominion Voting Systems. The audit was conducted on a random sample of voting machines throughout the state. And considering what we have seen happening, it's hard to trust what the Secretary of State has to say. Also, a monitor in Georgia has caught almost a 10,000 vote error in a hand recount. 9,626 votes. That's the size of the error in the hand recount in DeKalb County alone. That's according to the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party. He says one of our monitors discovered a 9,626 vote error in the DeKalb County hand recount. One batch was labeled 10,707 for Biden and 13 for Trump, an improbable margin even by DeKalb standards. The actual count for the batch was 1,081 for Biden and 13 for Trump. So says David Schaefer on Twitter yesterday. Had this counting error not been discovered, Biden would have gained enough votes from this one batch alone to cancel out Trump's gains from Fayette, Floyd, and Walton counties, the three counties that discovered memory cards with uncounted votes on November 16th and 17th. The discovered votes favored President Donald Trump and cut former Vice President Joe Biden's lead in the state by more than 1,400 votes. Schaefer says that the two official counters signed off on the miscounted batch. Republican attorneys turned over an affidavit on the incident to the Georgia Secretary of State and requested an investigation. He says, we were limited to one monitor for every 10 counting tables, and we were kept some distance from the tables. There's no telling what we missed under these unreasonable restrictions. Georgia's deadline to complete the recount is 11:59 p.m. yesterday. The state is scheduled to vote on whether to certify the results of the 2020 election tomorrow, November 20th. The recount in progress was initiated by Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, based on a new law that calls for an audit once one race after each election. The Trump campaign has challenged the recount process, asserting that it is meaningless unless it includes an audit of the voters' signatures. And they are 100% correct in challenging it, because the voters' signatures aren't being challenged. They aren't doing a signature match. They aren't actually doing the process they should be doing to really verify the vote. We've already seen from the example in Nevada what's happening in other states, that votes aren't being matched. Signatures aren't being matched. It has to be done. And in Georgia, it is even more important, because not only in Georgia is the presidential election up for grabs, but two Senate seats are up for grabs in Georgia right now. And the Democrats are pouring millions, multiplied millions of dollars into this election in Georgia. Multiplied millions. They know that there's a re-election happening. They know that they're going to have to go back and vote again. And they're pouring every penny they can get into Georgia to sway this election. And the reason this is so incredibly important is that those two Senate seats will change the balance of power in the Senate. And if the balance of power in the Senate changes to the Democrats, then for the next 4 years, the United States of America will sit at a standstill. Nothing will be accomplished. And they will succeed in impeaching the President of the United States of America for no legal reason whatsoever. You thought the last 4 years were nasty? Wait and see what happens if the Democrats gain control of the Senate. The reason we've had such a massive turnout this year is because Republicans across America, conservative people, people who are actually conservative regardless of the D or the R or the I that sticks next to their names, those people realized how horrible things were in Washington, D.C., and went out to vote for a man they wanted to change things, who would clean the swamp out, and who has been doing that job since he was elected, and they've seen the difference it's made. That's why there was such a huge turnout. And now they're trying to sway things the other direction. Georgia is extremely important because of two Senate seats. Two Senate seats. The Trump campaign could succeed in their challenge in the Supreme Court. They could succeed in having things turned over for a constitutional solution by having the vote done in the House and the Senate. They could succeed in doing that, but if they lose the Senate, it won't matter, because the Democrats will control both houses, and the Democrats will call the shots on everything except for the executive branch. And the Democrats will tie this nation in knots until they succeed in evicting Donald Trump from the White House. That's why this election is so important in the state of Georgia. That's why so much money from California and New York is pouring into the state right now. That's why the two Democrat candidates are out there fundraising outside of their state. It's that important. A Georgia poll worker has said she has 20 years of experience in handling ballots and recounts, said in a sworn statement on Tuesday, on the 17th, that she noticed an unusual batch of ballots in which the sheets had no signs of use or markings. And approximately 98% of those ballots were marked for Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden. Only about two of the ballots from the batch were marked for President Donald Trump. That's what recount worker Susan Voyles says. She filed an affidavit in support of attorney Lynn Wood's lawsuit against Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, in which she claims that Raffensperger made changes to the state's election policy, arguing that only Georgia's legislature can make a change in a federal election. She's right. Raffensperger has said on social media and in interviews that there is no evidence to suggest that fraud occurred in a wide enough scale to affect the election's outcome. Quote, "My team secured and strengthened absentee ballots for the first time since 2005. As Secretary of State, the first thing I did was push legislation that outlawed absentee ballot harvesting in Georgia." Okay. He wrote that on Facebook this week, disputing the lawsuit by Woods. But Voyle's allegations are sure to draw fresh attention and scrutiny to the vote tabulation efforts in Georgia. Voyle said she worked at Fulton County's Sandy Springs poll station and accepted the Fulton County Board of Elections' request to carry out its hand recount of the election. At one point, Voyle said she noticed a batch of ballots that was pristine, while noting that most of the ballots she observed had already been handled, they'd been written by people, and the edges were worn, showing obvious signs of use. The pristine ballot batch, however, showed us a difference in the texture of the paper. It was as if they were intended for absentee use but had not been used for that purpose. And there was a difference in the way they felt. These different ballots, she says, included a slight depression, pre-fold, so they could be easily folded and unfolded for use in scanning machines. Also, there were no markings on the ballots to show where they'd come from or where they'd been processed. She said, "These stood out. In my 20 years of experience of handling ballots," she says, "I observed the markings for the candidates on the pristine ballots were unusually uniform, perhaps even with a ballot marking device. By my estimate, in observing these ballots, approximately 98% constituted votes for Joe Biden." Georgia's GOP chairman, David Schaefer, noted that one of his poll watchers found that a nearly 10,000 vote error in DeKalb County. We've already covered that. When you add all of this stuff up, funny business, suspicious things, and the fact that they didn't do the recount properly, that they didn't do signature comparisons, it's fairly obvious that a handful of things are going on here. That anti-Trump Republicans are teaming up with Democrats to change the outcome of the election and to take it away from the people, to completely ignore the will of the people of the United States of America about who would be their president. Because, one, on the Democrat side, they know better because they're the elite. And on the other side, there's the never-Trumper Republicans who are just insulted that somebody is not presidential and behaves himself in a way that is not appropriate or proper. And he needs to be taken out of the picture. He's not doing things the way they've always done things. And they're both wrong because they're ignoring the will of the people. Final segment of this day's Daily Perspective podcast. We shift to the state of Wisconsin. After being quoted a sum of nearly $8 million for a statewide recount, the Trump campaign is opting for a partial recount in Wisconsin. Of Wisconsin's 72 counties, the Trump campaign is seeking a recount in the state's two most populous, which account for just over a quarter of its population, 35% of the statewide vote. The Trump campaign alleges that the Wisconsin Election Commission directed Wisconsin municipal clerks to illegally alter incomplete absentee ballots contrary to Wisconsin law. The campaign also alleges that the clerks were instructed they could rely on their own personal knowledge or on lists or databases at his or her disposal to add missing information on returned absentee ballots. Wisconsin law doesn't allow for incomplete absentee ballots to be counted. According to the unofficial totals, Biden beat Trump 317,270 votes to 134,357 votes in Milwaukee County, a bit over 260,000 to 78,800 in Dane County. 35% of Biden's statewide. I mean, that's, I didn't. You people should edit your stuff. Election officials previously said a full statewide recount could be completed by December 1st, and presumably this would be much faster. So, just to clarify things, absentee ballots, incomplete. If they're incomplete, they're not legal, they can't be counted. But poll workers were told, the municipal clerks were told, here's the information you need of the voter rolls. If you find something incomplete, just fill it in. So they're committing vote fraud under the direction of the Wisconsin Election Commission. Wow. Moving to Pennsylvania, President Trump's campaign lawyers in Pennsylvania was placed under official protection following threats against her. This is according to court papers filed Wednesday evening. Philadelphia lawyer Linda Kearns has been the subject of threats of harm to the point at which the involvement of police and U.S. Marshals has been necessary to provide her safety. That's according to the filing. This stunning revelation came 2 days after Kearns, a solo practitioner, sought sanctions against a lawyer from the firm representing Pennsylvania Secretary of State Kathy Buchbaugh for leaving her an abusive voicemail on Saturday night. Kearns also said in court papers Monday that she'd been subjected to continuous harassment in the form of abusive emails, phone calls, physical and economic threats, and even accusations of treason, all for representing the President of the United States campaign in this litigation. Later on Monday, Kearns sought permission to quit the case in which Trump's campaign is challenging his projected loss to Joe Biden in the crucial Keystone State. So now there are threats. Threats being made in Pennsylvania, which is common when you go up against progressives, because when things don't go their way, they want to make sure things are not going your way. Still in Pennsylvania, more than 400 Republican voters in Pennsylvania say they requested mail-in ballots and returned them to vote, but the state absentee voting data say those ballots weren't returned. That's according to a fraud detection team that contacted the voters. And more than 500 voters say they received mail-in ballots despite not requesting them. The team was put together by Matt Brainerd, former data and strategy director for President Donald Trump's 2016 election campaign. The team analyzed the data and set up a call center to verify election inconsistencies in several states, including Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Arizona, where the Trump campaign is contesting the results. Of the many thousands called, the team managed to reach a little over 1,700 Pennsylvania registered Republican voters who, according to the state data, received mail-in ballots. This is what Brainerd said in a November 16th series of tweets and later in an email to the Epoch Times. Nearly a third of the voters, 556, said they never requested those ballots. Of the 1,137 who did request a ballot, nearly 40% said they mailed the ballots back, but the state data show the ballots weren't received or counted. If the results are representative of the whole state, they could throw into question the election result. Some 165,000 Pennsylvania Republicans were mailed ballots, but weren't marked as having returned them. Former Vice President Joe Biden currently leads by fewer than 75,000 votes in the state. Brainerd said the team was able to obtain 30 written declarations from the voters, about half of them confirming they received a ballot despite not requesting one. The other half said they returned their ballot even though the state data say their ballots weren't returned. So if we find through this investigation that Democrats don't have the same claims, then it's fairly clear that the scheme was to send out as many unrequested ballots as possible and to only process the number of ballots for Joe Biden that were needed to win. And that is state-sponsored voter fraud. The legal team of Donald Trump is pushing back against the reports. They're saying that 600,000 Pennsylvania ballots were improperly processed. 600,000. Campaign spokesman Tim Murtaugh on Monday morning criticized the Washington Post report, describing it as a complete mischaracterization of the Trump campaign's litigation in Pennsylvania. And it is erroneously claiming the campaign dropped the claim of nearly 700,000 ballots processed illegally and in secret. He adds the campaign did no such thing. You probably saw those stories the first of the week that the Trump campaign had dropped the lawsuits in Pennsylvania. Not true. What the mainstream press is trying to do is to convince the people that the Trump campaign is giving up. And it's not. It isn't. Not by a long shot. Murtaugh goes on to say, our lawsuit in Pennsylvania absolutely still makes an issue of the 682,479 mail-in and absentee ballots that were counted in secret. He suggests that the Washington Post failed to investigate their amended complaint in court. Trump reposted Murtaugh's statement on Twitter, echoing his claim that the Jeff Bezos-owned newspaper forgot to read the complaint, while stressing there are outstanding allegations from GOP poll watchers in Pennsylvania who were barred from watching the vote tallying process. Rudy Giuliani, the former New York City mayor who serves as lawyer and associate to the Trump, also disputed the paper's report, saying another reporter, Politico's Josh Gersten, had a reading deficit and didn't read paragraphs 132 to 150 of the amended complaint. The Post reported that attorneys filed a fresh complaint removing allegations that election officials violated the Trump campaign's constitutional rights by limiting the ability of their observers to watch the votes being counted, which is not the case. Pennsylvania Secretary of State Kathy Buchbar, a Democrat, has reportedly rejected the Trump campaign's allegations there was any voter fraud or irregularities in the state. Her office has not responded to requests for comments. Of course not. Oh, man. Lawyers from Pennsylvania attorney Josh Shapiro's office said on behalf of Buchbar, according to a statement provided to news outlets over the weekend, the extant state law issues still should be resolved by Pennsylvania state courts. Although the secretary does not believe that oral argument is necessary to dispense with plaintiffs' allegations and claims, counsel for the secretary will appear and be prepared for argument as scheduled for if the court still intends to hear the argument. There's a lot of misinformation being pumped out today. A lot. A lot of information which, quite honestly, is just bald-faced lies. As I said, the mainstream press protecting the Democrats and the imposter president-elect Joe Biden are trying to give you the impression that the Trump team is giving up when that is not happening. Remember, the Trump team doesn't have to win all of these lawsuits. We know that in state courts, they're not going to win the lawsuits because in these states, the judicial systems are populated by progressives, people appointed by, in federal courts in those states as well, people appointed by the Obama administration, which was one of the reasons that they did so much of that kind of work during that 8 years. They were populating the federal court system with progressive judges, because they knew that if they were contested in the future, they would need those allies in the federal court system in order to help them defeat righteous claims of vote fraud and election fraud to come in the future. Because they knew they were going to cheat. They knew they were going to commit fraud. They knew exactly what they had to do to push forward their plan, which was
fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
They knew that in order to actually succeed in this fundamental transformation of the United States of America, that they had to go forward unchallenged. And the only way that could be done was if they stacked the court system in their favor. Well, now they have a big problem. The Supreme Court now leans conservative. The Supreme Court now has originalists outnumbering those who would make the law of the land something squishy to suit their personal opinions. And when it gets that far, they're not going to win. Remember, the Trump team doesn't have to win every election. Or doesn't have to win every court case, I should say. These guys are smart. They know what they're doing. And there's still a long way to go before this ball game's over. Hey, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. Let's get back together again for the next edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. What you say? We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.